What a joy it is to just blend our hearts and our voices in praise to our Maker. Just thank you for that hearty singing. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. A number of months ago, a very good Christian counselor told me that he believes that for the Christian, rest is a powerful and effective tool that is underutilized today among Christians. You see, the focus of the enemy is to hurt, kill, and destroy. Satan uses the weapons of uncertainty, of chaos, of confusion to accomplish his purposes, and he's always busy. He cannot rest. Isaiah said, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." It also says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So this contrasts very sharply with what the state of the Christian is. Isaiah says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." So I've entitled my thoughts and the scriptures that I'll be reading here briefly, "Fear and Rest." And I don't need to tell you that there is a lot of uncertainty, fear, and unrest around us. I think we're very well aware of that in the current political climate and in the markets. There's a lot of uncertainty. Yet I think as Christians, we can find comfort in remembering just the foundational truth of the gospel. See, in John, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." See, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this is not to say that there aren't legitimate fears. In fact, Jesus said there are some things that we should be afraid of. Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And so here in Hebrews 4, we are admonished to be afraid of missing the mark. And so let's read in Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 1, reading in ESV. "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage he said, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So here in this Hebrews passage, we see rest in the grand scheme of life. Rest was designed by God as part of creation's design. And God provided us with this example of resting following the creation. I don't think it was because he was tired, but rather I think it was to provide us with a very positive example. Then we're given here the negative example of the Israelites, who failed to trust that God could help them conquer the promised land and therefore not enter into the rest that God had planned for them in that way. So as we read here in Hebrews, the psalm is referenced where it talks about the hardening of the heart because of their failure to enter into God's rest. And this quotation in Hebrews is taken from Psalm 95, which is a call to worship and trust. And I'm sure I have read this before here, but I will read it again as God's call for us to worship and for the lesson that we should take to not harden our hearts. Psalm 95, 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah or as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. In verse 2, King James, it says that faith was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And we could think of the comparison or the illustration of the gospel is as food, and perhaps as the hand, as the element of faith that receives it. You see, we have to taste it, we have to take it in, we have to digest it, in which case it is profitable and nourishing. But if we don't mix faith, the gospel with faith, it does not do us any good. And we want to. Perhaps I will just read this quote. The fear here enjoined is not that of the sluggard dismayed by difficulties, or of the unbeliever who suspects that the promise shall not be accomplished, but a fear of caution, of vigilance, a fear which leads us to examine ourselves and allows us in this awful concern to be satisfied with nothing less than evidence whether we have a title to heaven and are in a fair way to obtain this blessedness. So we want to remember the possibility of our coming short, of failing to appropriate the grace of God that he has for us to enter into that rest. You know, there were 600,000 men of Israel who were invited to enter into God's rest, but only two entered. As Neville Jones said, to mistake the way to heaven is to sink into hell. You see, it is, and as we think about fear and about rest, I think it's a wonderful privilege we have today to focus on the centrality of Jesus. We have that in our Sunday school lesson today. We can carefully consider the claims of the gospel message and how it offers hope for our troubled world. Let us not harden our hearts as Israelites did. Let us through faith enter the rest that the Lord has designed for us. Let's be afraid of the things that we should be afraid of, but trust the Lord completely for the gift of his salvation. Let us just revel in his grace as we consider the mystery of the gospel of God, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let us kneel for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of salvation. Just thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son to die for us. Thank you so much for that. And I just pray that somehow you would bring this central passage of Scripture alive and real to us today, that we would just simply revel in your goodness, revel in the rest that you have for us in such a way that you will give us a burning desire to see those around us come to the knowledge of truth and enjoy the rest that you have for us. Lord, we want your will, we want your ways, and we ask that you be present in this service and in our lives for your praise and for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.